two type 1 diabetics vacationing with their families in a remote location of Hawaii, which is beautiful, by the way, one unseen near emergency, and three different lessons that I've learned so far while vacationing in Hawaii as a type 1 diabetic. I get some really scary experiences that I want to share with you guys today, but I hope that they help you to identify potential pitfalls and dangers in your own life with type 1 diabetes. And I think that I've thought up three different lessons that can all be taken from the same story where things could have gone much, much worse. If you don't know who I am, my name is Matt Van De Vecht. I'm a certified master fitness trainer and nutritionist living with type 1 diabetes. And today I want to take you through what could have been a very different turn of a family vacation. And hope you enjoy.
I've spent the last 10 years pushing the limits while identifying trends and patterns in my type 1 diabetes management. Follow along as I learn, apply, and share the fitness, nutrition, and lifestyle strategies that I've learned from diabetes experts around the world. The real question is, how can we live fearlessly with diabetes while maintaining stable blood sugars? This podcast is here to give you the answer. My name is Matt Van De Vecht, head coach and co-founder of FTF Warrior, and welcome to Part of My Pancreas.
All right, so as you can tell, the view is absolutely incredible, but that does mean we're in kind of a remote location. So anything that happens with type 1 diabetes has an extra edge of uncertainty when you realize that the hospital is forever away. Ambulances can't get here very quickly. But all that to say, things are still going smoothly. I think we're 4 or 5 days into this trip. It's been beautiful. But the first story I want to share with you guys was actually my wife and I, and we're both training for triathlons right now. We've got our next race coming up in a couple weeks and said, you know what, we can't take time off just because we're in Hawaii. So we used the snorkeling sessions as open water swims, and then I went for a run, you know, sunrise, and there's no bike path, so we can't do bike rides, but the swimming has been fantastic. In fact, our second workout, we saw 5 sea turtles during our workout. So I mean, if that's not motivation to go exercise, I don't know what is, because you get a best of both worlds. But all that to be said, first swim, we went out, and I talked to the lifeguard beforehand, said, hey, is there anything else to be worried about here? He said, no, not really, just if you stick closer to the shore, you know, it's easier for us to get out to you if there are any emergencies. I said, okay, great. So my wife and I took off and ended up swimming, I think it was only about a half a mile. So not very far, but enough to get wet. My wife wanted to get familiar with the open water swim, like, you know, having some waves, some wind, some chop. And I thought that's all we were going to deal with. And after our swim, we came back towards base camp where the family was, feeling pretty good, exhausted, but pretty good. And I felt the current start to take me to my right a little bit, to the northwest of where we were staying. And I thought, that's interesting, but you know what? I'll ride this, you know, like ride the current, make it easier. Why not? I grew up surfing in San Diego, California, so I'm no stranger to currents of the ocean. And in fact, I was also a certified open water or advanced open water lifeguard for a while. So, you know, I start to recognize that this current is taking me a bit faster and a bit further than I would have liked. And I thought, you know what? This might be a rip current. So I looked at my wife, and as calmly as I could, I directed her, pointed towards shore, and said, hey, cut in, we're going to go straight towards shore before this thing takes us any further out than we'd like to be. Put our heads down, start swimming. I'm swimming now at a pretty fast pace, and not to toot my own horn by any stretch, but I would say I'm a pretty fast swimmer, pretty efficient. I was on swim team growing up, you know. But what's interesting is that while swimming pretty hard, I was going backwards. I could see the ocean floor, and as I'm stroking forward, the sand is getting further away from me. And I thought, this is not good. This is where you have to make a decision for which route you're going to take. Are you going to go through the rip current? Because now I can tell we are certainly in a rip current. Or are you going to do what you're supposed to do, right? As an advanced open water lifeguard, we're taught you swim parallel to the shore to get out of the rip current. Even though it takes you further away from shore initially, you'll be able to go out and around the rip current and get back into shore. So I flagged my wife down as like, hey, we need to get back in, but we got to go around to get there. So we start swimming parallel to shore and, you know, start getting a little spooked, right? Because we are getting further and further away from shore. And at this point, we're already a half mile into an open water swim. We're exhausted, right? And both of us kind of started getting a little uneasy, a little nervous as we start getting drifting outwards towards sea. So we ended up, of course, making it back in. And after we got around the rip current, I found a sandbar that I had spotted earlier. So we hopped on the sandbar for a quick breather, picked up my wife, and carried her in to shore. Not because she was unable to. I was just holding on to her. Honestly, embracing after a stressful event was like, oof. Sigh of relief, like, we made it. That was actually kind of scary. And she reiterated that feeling. She said, yeah, I know, like, that I actually didn't know if we were going to make it back in. It's like, I know. I had the same thought. Glad we're okay. And we went back in, found our way to our daughter, who was walking on the beach with my mom, so her nanny. And it was beautiful to see, because my daughter, she had previously been a little bit nervous about the ocean. For the first time, she was stoked about it. She loved it. She was asking to go deeper in the water with my mom, so with her nanny. You know, nanny, take me deeper, deeper, deeper. She wanted to go, get back in the waves and swim around. And so my wife and I both put on big smiles for our daughter, and we took her back into the water. We're stoked for her because it's exciting to see her embrace the chaos of the ocean, right? And there's two parallels that I notice with type 1 diabetes as I'm experiencing this. One is that for many of us, maybe not all, but for many of us, we almost have to put on a smile sometimes with type 1 diabetes, right? And even me on vacation, where I'm doing math in my head, trying to crunch numbers on how much insulin I should take for this next meal, and people ask, hey, how's everything going? I'm not going to open everything up, right? That's Pandora's box. It's good, right? But so many of us deal with the chaos of type 1 diabetes, and nobody fully understands what it is that we go through, right? The difficulty, the chaos, the frustration, the mystery blood sugars, the blood sugar roller coaster, the things that just take you for a loop, right? Nobody quite gets that, at least not other than us, other type 1s. And to put on a smile for our daughter, that's expected. I have no problem with that. But it reminded me of times where we might have had a chaotic, ridiculous blood sugar day. And we get to a family dinner, and everyone's, hey, how's it going? And we got to put a smile on, right? We got to just say, you know, everything's great. You know, life is, it's got its challenges, but it's good. And not to say that you can't open up, right? And you should have people that you can absolutely talk to and be real with. They're not quite going to get it. Just like my daughter wouldn't understand what we're talking about. We just said we almost got sucked out to sea in a rip current. Not that we're going to share that with her. Maybe ever, because that was spooky. But that was the first lesson, was to get around other type 1s, other people who get it, like you. And this is exactly why in all of our coaching programs, there's a group aspect to it. Like, of course, there's one-on-ones where I work with people directly, but all of them, we've built in these community channels where you can ask questions to other people other than the coaches. You can post your wins, your struggles, right? And just to get real with people who get it. So important. Now, the second lesson, as we got to shore, my wife and I were just kind of chatting and processing, honestly, processing the experience of the rip current. Because I've been in rip currents before. In fact, as a surfer in San Diego, we actually utilize rip currents to paddle out faster. Rip currents help us to paddle out towards the waves, and it makes it a lot easier. So you paddle out in the rip current, surf in on a wave. Paddle out in the rip current, it just makes the whole day easier. But as a swimmer, that got sketchy because I don't have a board to float on top of, right? No fins, no nothing, just goggles. And that was actually another issue. That'll be tip number three. But the thing that my wife mentioned to me as we got into shore, she said, I literally had no idea we were in a rip current. And I thought, I just got chills. But how dangerous is that to not know that you're in danger? And see, with type 1s, like myself in the past, honestly, there's so many times where ignorance has nearly gotten me killed. Not by choice, not because I didn't want to know, but because nobody was there to teach me. Nobody was there to guide me or coach me along this journey of, you know, learning about type 1 diabetes and how to do this kind of stuff, right? To be out in nature, to be in a remote location where every day, like, we just got back from hiking a mountain Now, granted, I didn't go to the tip top like I did last time because I have a 2-year-old with me, and halfway up I had to pick her up and carry her, and whew, that's a whole different experience. But, you know, hiking mountains, going snorkeling, open water swims. Yesterday I went for an 8-mile run first thing in the morning. Perfect blood sugars. In fact, I'll put them on screen real quick. These are the blood sugars for the last 2 days. So the 8-mile run, the hike, the snorkeling, 99% time in range. That's pretty killer, right? But then we look at 7 days, because we've been on vacation for, I think, 5 to 6 days at this point. My 7-day average for blood sugars, time in range, 96% time in range. While doing all the fun stuff, right? Not holding back, eating all the good food. We've had shaved ice, Hawaiian shaved ice and ice cream every day. It's been so good. But that's besides the point. The point is, if you have the right guidance, like I've finally been able to find, both through my own research, but also other people in my circles, you can figure these things out with diabetes, right? And yes, it's challenging. There are added variables, or we have to calculate how much insulin to take, for example. But if you don't know about the danger that you might be in, that's where things actually get really dangerous. And there's been a few times in my learning journey, because I spent years researching type 1 diabetes, becoming a certified master fitness trainer, becoming a nutritionist, and then becoming a coach for other type 1 diabetics, where I experimented on my own blood sugars. And in that process, had a few near-death experiences. I'm going to be completely transparent with you. It's sketchy experimenting on yourself with unknown variables. I don't recommend doing it the way that I did it initially, because I was going in blind, right? I, as my wife, didn't know about the rip current. I didn't know about blood sugar variables. This is why I teach people them now, so I can help people avoid potential pitfalls, right? And in fact, if you've ever, like, you've been watching these videos for a while and you've ever wondered about working with us, you can go watch a training where I've put together a few of the key variables that most people find helpful. It's like the biggest bang for your buck, or bang for your time, right? It's free, so it's not a bang for your buck. But you can go to diabetesinaction.com. In fact, you know why it's called that? The entirety of my program, Diabetes in Action, because we're out here doing this stuff, living with diabetes in action. In case you ever were curious about that, that's why it's got its name, or how it's got its name, is that we live with diabetes in action. We're not meant to live inside of a box, to please our diabetes, to sacrifice our quality of life or our peace of mind just so that diabetes can cooperate, just so I can have stable blood sugars or a smooth A1C for my doctor. That's not what this is about. It's about forcing blood sugars to do what you want them to do, because you're knowledgeable, because you're able to manipulate blood sugars, to alter your insulin sensitivity, to master your blood sugar formulas, so you can do this, right? Live with diabetes in action. So that's where it got its name. Thought that'd be fun to share. But if you want to go get that free training to see a bit of the, maybe like a sneak peek behind the scenes on what I teach my clients, go to diabetesinaction.com. Register for the free training. Check it out. If you like it, there's some more resources there that are available for you as well. But the big picture here is that my wife, not knowing that we were in rip current, the only reason I knew that we were in rip current is that I was already an expert, right? I've already been doing these triathlons. So I've done open water swims. As of recently, I just completed my first half Ironman, which is a lot more swimming than we did on this trip. But before that, I was an advanced open water lifeguard. Before that, I was on the swim team. Before that, I grew up surfing, right? Like, I've been in the ocean my entire life. So having an expert with you to spot the subtle nuances with whether it's a rip current or your blood sugars is critical if you expect to have those top tier experiences where diabetes doesn't get in the way, right? And there's been a number of times where lows have just knocked me out of my butt, you know, before I knew how to master blood sugars. And there's, as with these rip currents as well, we took a tour yesterday and the announcer was saying one of the beaches that we swam in is the number one beach for tourists to drown and die, because they're unaware of these potential pitfalls and dangers and uncertainties, these mysterious variables in the ocean, rip currents, strong tides, the reef can cut you up. There's a number of things out there. Sharks, actually, that's a whole different topic. I got sucked out in rip current yesterday and found out afterwards that that is the beach that Bethany Hamilton got her arm bit off by a shark. And that spooked me a little bit. I was like, oh, the rip current that sucked me out, which, by the way, this is the third time in one trip I've been sucked out by rip currents. The first one was the worst. The other two I caught way earlier, and I was able to get back to shore. But yeah, found out that when I was swimming open water, like where you can't see the bottom, that's where all the sharks hang out. So that's, whew. Anyways, long story short, look at how you can introduce experts into the areas of your life that have the most uncertainties or the biggest risk of danger. So type 1 diabetes, that's one of them. Because if you don't master your diabetes, it very well may impact the entirety of your life. Not just your health, but also your mental peace. It's a big deal, right? So that's the second lesson. Third one, equipment-wise. So my wife and I, typically, well, this is her first open water swim, but for me, typically when I go for open water swims, I've got my goggles, I've got sugar stuffed in my wetsuit sleeves, because usually I wear a wetsuit. In San Diego, it's a little bit colder. And then number three, I have a swim buoy, which alerts boats that are in the area that I'm in the water, and I have a really bright colored swim cap so that I don't get run over by a boat. Now, technically, the swim buoy also doubles as a flotation device, but I've never had to use it for that. However, this trip, I was supposed to bring my flotation device, my swim buoy, and we actually could have used that if it were in a rip current, right? If we had to, hold on for dear life, that would have been a good option. And I did not bring that. We were not prepared. And unfortunately, that's the third tip that I did not learn from, which is being more prepared. So one thing that we've done is learn from our mistakes. So the second time we went out, the third time we went out, we brought a boogie board with us. And of course, that's just me push, stroke, 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 push, stroke, stroke, stroke. Yeah, it's a lot harder to swim with it. But we had the flotation device, and my wife felt better about it. And I actually ended up using it because we did get sucked out a third time. These Hawaiian beaches, I guess, are known for riptides. And I hadn't done my research. I was not well prepared. But now we are. So taking the flotation devices out there, right? Being more prepared about scoping out the beaches. And as a lifeguard, come on, Matt. I mean, I should have been doing that from the beginning, right? Where you get to the beach, you scope it out, and now I can spot the rip currents because of that experiential learning. Or it's also called post-traumatic growth, which is a really interesting topic. In fact, if you haven't seen that podcast episode yet, I'll link it up at the end of the video. Highly recommend it. It was filmed the last time we were in Hawaii, actually. So we'll tie those two lessons up together. It's a beautiful lesson. Actually, one of our most popular ones. But looking at how can I learn from these experiences, right? If I have, am I learning the right lessons? So the lesson my wife initially learned was, I'm not going back in the water. And I said, no, we can't do that. You will go back in. I don't care if it's ankle deep. You're going back in the water because we need to face this fear before this fear grows legs and runs off on its own, right? If you let the fear get too strong, it's going to grow roots in your head. And I know that from experience. So I was like, nope, we're going back in the water. I will go with you. And my blood sugars actually were not cooperating fantastically the next time we were in the water. But I was like, we got to both face our fears right now. I'm going to go in. And with these blood sugars not behaving, and you're going to go in to face this rip current. Not that we intentionally went in a rip current, but just getting in the water, going for a quick swim. And I think that's a two-part lesson. One, I found that exposure therapy works best for me, and my wife agreed with it on this trip. Now she's not feeling that the fear is rooting in her. It's dissipating, right? Because she has faced that fear multiple times. Now we threw our goggles back on and went back out, swam out there on follow-up days. But two is to learn the right lessons from these scary experiences. So if we didn't learn the right lessons from the rip current example, and we just decided, hey, to heck with it, we're just going to go back out blindly, not look for rip currents, not look for warning signs, not take flotation device with us, we're just going to go for it. Well, we put ourselves in the exact same position as before, and likely would experience similar results as before. So we needed to learn the right lessons and make improvements towards those, which we have. Now, the last piece, this episode's getting kind of long, so maybe I'll chop it up and do something different. But I think that the big takeaway with this experience, number one, is to surround yourself with people who are experts in areas that are high risk for you, right? So we didn't know we were facing that big of a risk with the rip currents, but my wife happened to have an expert with her. And truth be told, I wasn't even planning on going on that swim with her. initially I told her, hey, I'll walk on the beach and I'll observe your strokes so I can give you some coaching on swimming from the shoreline. The rip current would have taken her far out of my voice reach. I wouldn't have been able to yell to her to tell her she's in a rip current. She would have gotten sucked out to sea. I would have had to go in and save her, right? It would have been way scarier. So we got lucky on that one. But surrounding yourselves, if you can proactively surround yourselves with the right experts in high risk areas of your lives so that you have somebody who's got eyes on these subtle nuances, right? I barely noticed that rip current. As somebody who's a seasoned swimmer, surfer, lifeguard, I barely picked up on that. And she said she had no idea. With diabetes, there are things that you have no idea are posing massive threats. Maybe you've just gotten lucky a few times, but your luck eventually will run out if you don't make changes proactively. And that's my encouragement to you to wrap up this episode, is that if you are not 100% certain, 100% certain in your diabetes management strategies, methods, calculations, you need to proactively seek out somebody who can help you get to that level of certainty. Otherwise, you're running a risk of hitting something that you might not recover from. And I've had a few of those. Like I said, my experiences over the lifetime I've lived with diabetes, times where I've ended up in the hospital, times where I've stared death in the face, right? And I'm like, wow, that was a close call. A few times. It's scary living with type 1. So if you're somebody who is not 100% certain in your diabetes calculations, in your blood sugar formulas, reach out. Let's get something set up where we can either give you resources, answer some questions, and point you in the right direction. So at the very least, you can avoid the rip currents in life. And maybe the biggest threat you pose is, forgetting to take your cell phone out of your pocket and getting it wet. Right? Where it's something you can still recover from. That's the big picture. Mistakes can be made, but let's try and make those mistakes ones that we can recover from. All right. So I think that's all I got for you guys today. I got to hop back out. My sister is finishing the top of the mountain hike right now, and she's type 1 too. So pretty cool seeing diabetics just getting it done, having fun in life, right? I really think that with the right strategy, with the right calculations, with the right blood sugar formula, you can live your life to the fullest. You can live your best life. It just takes some effort, takes some planning, takes some observation, right? As it does when my wife and I are heading out for open ocean water swims, right? We now observe, we look for the rip currents, we look for potential dangers, and then we go have fun. That's all you got to do with diabetes. But to look for the right stuff, you got to know what you're looking for. And that's a big part of what our coaching is customizing these pieces to your puzzle so you can get the whole picture, right? Now, because you made it to the end, I want to give you some golden nuggets, some client wins that we've noticed for the most people have the biggest leveraged capabilities, where if you implement this one skill, it's something that will dramatically change your life with diabetes. If you do not know what this is, or if you don't fully utilize it, I guarantee you that the pre-bolus is something that can change your life with diabetes overnight. Like, your time and range could be so much better if you just implemented that properly. I'll give you an example as well. So with the pre-bolus, like I said, it could fix blood sugars overnight in a pinch. Like, it really is one of those magical things that can fix it so quickly. Same thing with exercise, but that's a different topic entirely. But the pre-bolus fixing overnight blood sugars is like us bringing the swim buoy out in the water with us, right? Or wearing fins, right? That would have gotten us out of the rip current in a jiffy. It would have been no problem. If we had flotation devices and swim fins, oh my gosh, we wouldn't have even noticed it, right? It's like pre-bolus, you know, you might spike after a meal, and then you implement that, you won't even notice that you had a meal. I mean, I've got CGM graphs where it stays within 5 points for 3 hours straight after having 100 carbs because I pre-bolused properly, right? These are some of those things, the quick fixes, the quick wins that we teach our clients. I hope that one helps you to spark some ideas. With the right equipment, with the right strategies, you really can make changes that you will see the impact of almost immediately, usually within 24 hours. So I hope that one helps. Now, when I say properly, I do mean that it has to be personalized. Like, we teach formulas, obviously, literally the first lesson that we put our clients through is getting their pre-bolus formula dialed in, so they know exactly how many minutes to wait for their insulin type, their food choices, their activity levels, their insulin resistance or sensitivity. Critical that you get that dialed in. But at the very minimum, I want you to at least consider implementing the pre-bolus. I can't even tell you on how many client calls I've got on where they tell me, I just did the pre-bolus and my time in range went up by 20% in 2 days. You know, I'm like, that's amazing. And I find out later, it's because their doctors never told them about it, or never told them that it's supposed to be dynamic, meaning that it changes day to day, or that their doctors, in some cases, have told them not to do it, ever. I'm like, oh, this is the worst. I can't believe that I have to teach these things. But that's also why I'm here, because I, too, was let down by the medical community, by the doctors and endos that were supposed to help me. I realized a little too late that they're ultimately just there to help you survive, right? Which they do a good job of, and I'm grateful for that. They certainly did help me to survive with my diabetes. But if you're looking to thrive with your type 1 diabetes, you're going to have to do a little homework on your own. And in some cases, for some people, they prefer to have some hand-holding. That's what we're here for as well. A little more customization. We show you the way, help you to avoid the potential pitfalls and dangers, because we have more of the nuanced knowledge of what it looks like to live with type 1 diabetes as we research it and build out these blood sugar formulas. So, one more time, if you haven't yet gone and clicked on it or typed it in, go to diabetesinaction.com. Go check out that training. Like I said, we'll hook you up with some resources, get you pointed in the right direction, so that hopefully you too can avoid taking some of these scary pitfalls blindly, right? Like us getting sucked into a rip current. I want to help you avoid stuff that might lead you into some pretty scary situations with diabetes if I can. And that's my role here. All right. So I hope you found this one helpful. I got to hop into what's likely going to be an afternoon filled with more activity, more Hawaiian shaved ice. And actually, I got to change out my CGM sensor like in an hour. So going to go take care of that as well. But aloha from Hawaii. And actually, my daughter, I think, just woke up. So time for me to go as well. And like I said, I'll hook up the video, or I'll link it up for you guys to check it out. And I think that'll be a helpful tie-up lesson for the rest of this one. All right, so have a great rest of your day. Again, check out that link, diabetesinaction.com. Keep up the fight, everyone. Thanks for watching. Peace.